Welcome to A Pastoral Approach, a site of blogs and podcasts intended to help you grow and be strengthened in the one true faith of Jesus Christ as we approach the day of His coming. We trust the Lord will add His blessing to this, the teaching of His most holy word.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text this morning that serves as the basis for our message is from John, the 21st chapter. My dear friends in Christ, He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. And Peter knew it. Thomas knew it. Nathanael knew it. John and James and the two other disciples in the boat knew it too. They had spent at least a little while watching and listening to the risen Lord, but Peter, at least as far as we know, hadn't yet spoken to Jesus. Now you have to put yourself in the mindset of Peter a little bit and remember all the way back to Maundy Thursday night. What did he do? He denied his Lord three times. And in Peter's mind, and certainly even by his word, this is a denial of faith. After all, Peter is the man who said to Jesus, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter had believed in Jesus, at least a little bit. He may not have understood everything, but he got some of it. He believed Jesus was the Messiah. But that night, Peter denied the man. This wasn't just a little lie. It wasn't just a time where he said that he did not know the man, Jesus. His three denials were for him a falling away from faith. He walked away. After all, he had heard the Lord tell many times that one has to deny himself and then follow Jesus. And he had also heard the Lord say this, that whoever denies him before men, Jesus would deny before his Father in heaven. Peter knew. That's why he says he's going fishing. Remember, fishing isn't just a hobby for Peter. He's not getting into his little boat with its little outboard motor and a couple of poles. He's getting the band back together. He's going to hire people to work. He's going to get boats to go with. He's going to have people who are mending the nets. He's going back to his job, the one that Jesus called him out of, called him to abandon, and then follow after him. Peter's going to go back to fishing because there's nothing left for him being an apostle. And his friends, I think, feeling for him, feeling the plight of his, they decided to go with him, to keep him company, or maybe even to join him. Peter and James and John were, after all, partners in fishing. You have to remember, for them, things were still a little tense for this little band of disciples. Things weren't the way that they were. The Jews were after them in the city. And Jesus, well, he comes and goes. He's not around the way that he was before. He appears in the middle of locked rooms. And he somehow travels from Emmaus to Jerusalem and then to Galilee. In an instant, he can disappear now before people's eyes. Jesus is different. Peter and the apostles are different. And so they go fishing. They go out and they fail hard. Peter and the gang catch nothing overnight. This is not a good start if you're going to go back into the fishing business. There's nothing to pay the crew with. No fish, no money. No money, no crew. no crew, no fish. But then they see a man standing on the side of the sea. And he calls out to them, and he tells them to let their net down off of the side of the boat. Now this guy is 300 feet away from the boat. I can barely see it when a fish is right in front of me, but somehow this guy sees a huge school of fish 300 feet away. The guys in the boat must have thought he was a quack. But what would it hurt? Casting out one more time before they came in and called it a day. They pulled in 153 fish in a single net. Not little fish, big fish. I looked this up. There's a species of fish in the Sea of Galilee, and it's the big fish in the Sea of Galilee. And each one, as an adult, weighs between 13 and 15 pounds. You do the math, they caught a literal ton of fish. And as they begin to pull in the net, they're all taken back to the beginning, where Jesus called Peter and James and John, and he made them cast their nets after a long night of catching nothing. Now, John is the first to recognize it. He seems to be kind of the smart one in the bunch. After all, he's the first disciple to see the empty tomb of Jesus and believe, or at least wonder. Here, he's the first one to speak up. And when Peter hears John say that it's Jesus on the edge of the sea, well, he puts on the very heavy coat that he has, you know, the one that's supposed to ward off the chill of the night, and he throws himself into the sea. Now, I used to think that this was Peter getting super excited that it was Jesus. That's why he wasn't thinking here. Because you can swim better anyway when you're stripped down for work, as the scriptures say. But in the scriptures, when things get thrown into the sea, it's never a good thing. It's judgment. So when Peter throws himself into the sea, I wonder if he's not thinking this: Jesus has finally come for me. Now, he did the same thing here when he called me the first time, and he's doing it to rub it in my face. Jesus told me he's going to deny me before the Father because I denied him. Therefore, Jesus is going to kill me. Jesus is going to send me to hell. And with that, Peter thought back to the night, back into that courtyard, and realized that he had led people astray from Jesus in his denials. And Jesus says, it is better for one to have a millstone, a huge stone for grinding things, put around one's neck and have them thrown into the sea than to lead a little one astray. Now, Peter had no millstone, but he did have a heavy coat. But this isn't what Jesus intended. It is not what Jesus wanted. So Peter doesn't die here. Instead, somehow, maybe even miraculously, Peter makes it to shore. And you kind of get the impression that he's just standing around, just in a daze, until Jesus tells him to go and get some of the fish from the net. And robotically, he goes to it. He hops to it. Have you ever felt like Peter? I have. Those times, you know, when you realize that you've done something so painfully stupid, so idiotically crazy, so sinfully wrong, that you feel that there's no real hope for you? And you've betrayed even the confession of faith that you've made. I think we all do this from time to time. And I really do mean time to time. I don't think that it's just once that this happens in our lives. For some of us, maybe it's even a daily thing, though I hope it's not as bad as all of that. Peter's no different. In fact, Peter has this wonderful reputation in the scriptures for being the disciple with the biggest foot in the biggest mouth the most times. And I don't think Peter's personality completely changed after he's recognized as the primary leader in the church. I think Peter continued to mess up. I think he continued to sin. And so do we. Now imagine you messed up. Go back, if you will, to the time when you were just lousy with sin. And then imagine that Jesus is there. Not only that, he told you you were going to do this thing. He knew that you did it. And then he didn't seem to talk to you for a couple of weeks. Then he calls you to him. I remember one time. We were living in Germany near the army base. And there was some kind of construction or something happening near us. And so there was a giant dumpster. And my dad told me, don't go near the big dumpster that's there. And definitely don't go in it and don't play around it. So, of course, Pops goes off somewhere and I go in the dumpster. I mean, there was this ladder on the outside, right? It's beckoning to me. And you could see, as I did, I looked in and there was nothing in there yet. So I just casually threw whatever it was that I was playing with in there, and I went and hopped over the ladder and into the dumpster. Of course, I didn't realize that there was no ladder on the inside. And when you're 7 years old, you can't reach the top. Now, I don't think it was too long, me crying, no one coming to help, that my dad appeared over the side. And my stomach dropped, worse than when I had realized that I was stuck in there. That's what Peter felt. He was stuck. And all of a sudden, the Lord appeared on the edge of the sea, watching him. What would you do? I wanted to get saved by my dad. I wanted him to get me out of the dumpster, but I dreaded the punishment when I got out. Peter wanted to be saved by the Lord. He wanted to get out of the mess that he got himself into, but he dreaded those first words that he would hear. I stretched my arms up, but my dad instead jumped in, and he pushed me out. Peter sat down, and the Lord asked him a very simple question. Peter, do you love me? How do you respond to something like that? If it were me, it would be something like this. I didn't mean it, Jesus. I didn't want to say it. There was just so much stress and pressure. I couldn't handle it. I would take it all back in an instant, Jesus. Anything to make excuses, right? But Peter, surprisingly, has a little more grace. And he just simply says, yes. Jesus told him to feed his lambs. Then he asked Peter the same question. Tend my sheep. Then again, then feed my sheep. And all of a sudden, Peter, sitting there just listening, it became clear that for each of the denials that Peter made about the Lord, Jesus undid his work with a simple question. For every denial, Jesus restored Peter into the office of the apostle. Now, I'm sure that my dad disciplined me. I'm sure of it. but I don't remember it. I only remember him pushing me out of the dumpster, somehow leaping over the top of it, and checking to make sure that I was okay, and then hugging me. I was back in his arms. That's what I remember. Peter wouldn't feel the fear he once felt anymore, only that the Lord came to him and restored him to his office. Jesus knew what he was doing. He wasn't putting Peter back in the office because he felt bad for him. He put him there because by Peter's work for the sake of Christ, Peter would one day be led to a cross, and he would watch his wife be crucified, and Peter himself would be hung upside down on the cross, his arms stretched out to the ground that he would soon be buried in. Jesus was calling Peter to suffer for his name. But Peter was restored. He had been given the gift of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Peter was back in the arms of Christ. That's what he would remember. Have you been like Peter? Have you done the wrong thing? Perhaps it's as simple as a word out of turn. Perhaps you're being a jerk to people who don't really deserve your anger. Perhaps you're not forgiving people the way that Jesus says to do. Perhaps you're spreading gossip through the church, through your home, through your school, through your workplace. Perhaps you're just being mean for the sake of meanness. You are like Peter. You're telling God that you're out. You're behaving like an unbeliever. You're behaving like Jesus isn't risen from the dead, like he's not coming back, like he's not coming back for you. But there is still time. Because the risen Lord stands in this place and he asks you, do you love me? And the answer that you gave this morning is yes. Amen. You were confronted with your sin. You confessed it. And the forgiveness of Christ was pronounced upon you. Do you love Jesus? Do you love the man who is God, who went to the cross in your place? Do you love him for all of the hits of the whip that he took for you? Do you love him for all of the echoes of the hammer resounding through his bones? Do you love him for the blood that he left on the cross every time he heaved up and down upon that wood? Do you love him for choking on his own saliva? Do you love this crucified Jesus? Do you love him for dying for you? Do you love him for being dead? Do you love him for resting in the tomb? Do you love him for rising from the dead on the third day for you, just as he promised to do? If the answer is no, then just go on. Keep doing what you have been doing. You're denying Christ, so don't be reconciled to one another. Be mean, be nasty, be angry, be awful, but don't expect to be comforted. Be fearful if you don't love Jesus. But if the answer is yes, If you love the crucified and risen Lord Jesus, then follow him. Do as he says. Do the right things. Be reconciled. Be loving. Be generous. Be forgiving. You are forgiven in him. In Christ, you are forgiven. All of your sins are wiped away. All of your fear is sent away. All of your selfishness is to be pushed to the wayside so that you can be with Jesus. And that's a life of suffering. You are going to have to put up with a lot. Peter watched his wife be murdered, and then he himself would receive the same. Now, I don't know that that's not going to happen to any one of us here. It is happening, by the way, to the church throughout the world today. And even if it doesn't, I do know that we're going to have to do things like swallow our pride, depend on others, make sure that others' needs are being taken care of before our own. To speak well of people, even when we're angry. We'll suffer. But it will be for the sake of Christ. And that is always a good thing. I was back in my father's arms, and there is no place that I wanted more to be. And Peter was back in his Lord's care. And there is no place he wanted more to be. Do you love Jesus? You are already in his arms. You are already in his care. He forgives you all of your sin. And just in case you have a hard time believing it, remember he has washed you. Remember he has fed you. And remember that he still speaks to you. And he tells you that the Father loves you so much that he sent his beloved Son to die in your place. He tells you that God raised this Son from the dead so that you also would be raised from the dead. I mean, yeah. This life in Christ is going to have suffering. But what is a little suffering now compared to an eternity of bliss? Christ has come to make you whole. He has come to restore you as he restored Peter. And you are restored in him because he lived perfectly, because he died in your place, and because he is risen from the dead, you are restored to God forever, forgiven, only to rise from the dead and live forever with him. And you know this. You know this. As Peter knew it, as Thomas knew it, as Nathaniel knew it, as James and John and the two other disciples in the boat knew it. And you know it because he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Louis Polzine. I'm glad you've joined us as we've made our way through the scriptures. If you're in the Bemidji, Minnesota area and you're looking for a new church home or just have questions, I encourage you to contact us at Trinity in Bemidji at 218-444-4441. The Lord Jesus Christ be with you now and always.